You can find LUL Podcast on lulpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter at LUL Podcast. You can also subscribe to LUL Podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and TuneIn Radio. Level Up Language Podcast is sponsored by Davis School District and Clearfield High School. Hello and welcome back to Level Up. I'm Brandon Welker here with my friends and colleagues Davin Lemke and Roger Burt. We're missing Miles Nance today. I didn't think of a reason beforehand, but probably
it's getting a pedicure.
Free ice cream at IHOP. I don't know.
He might have got lost on the way.
Tricycle
down.
Practice. This is episode 19, and we have titled it, Davin, go ahead.
How to finish the year.
How to finish a year and how to make sure your kids finish strong even after testing and just before they get to summer. So with that, let's get down with Level Up. All right, well, we're going to start this podcast, this session, by saying that we do listen to our fan feedback and comments. And one comment that was made was, and this is a question we've had all along, is regarding the length of our podcast. So we are here to make a conscious attempt this time to try to aim for the 20 to 25 minute range for our podcast,
which ironically was our original goal when
that
we
was
started.
Our original plan. And the first two, we just went so long we couldn't.
It's hard with four of us.
It is hard.
We might look at a slightly altered format structure, but
I'm getting fired. That's what it is.
So we're gonna try that today. Like I said, Miles couldn't be with us, but we are gonna discuss basically two questions. Number one. The impetus of this one was just today when Davin was in his class and realized some of the kids are getting a little out of order at the end of the year here. I think that's a common experience for most teachers in all subject areas. You've got kind of the pressure of third term is gone. You can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Graduation is near for a lot of them. Spring break is anticipated just a couple weeks after fourth term starts. So it's a challenge. You're also nearing the end of your curriculum, the material, the body of it. And so that's kind of our first question, is what do we do? And then I'll just preview the second question, which I just thought of while we were thinking about this podcast today. What should your whole year look like? And I think that's evolved a little bit over time as I've taught. So let's start with the first one. We'll come back to what the whole year looks like. But just at the end of the year, what are some of the things that you guys do to keep the kids on task and to make sure that you're teaching effectively and giving them things that matter to the very end? Because your test doesn't happen the last day of school either. That's another thing. Mine happens almost a month before school's out. And so what do? Roger, start with Roger.
Well, yeah, for me right now, my big focus is AP and IB. The AP test is May 8th, which still gives us a good 3 weeks after that of school. And then IB has a couple things coming up. So that's pretty easy for me to keep them engaged to that point. I've asked my AP kids in the past, like, what do you guys want to study when we're done? Not worrying about any kind of testing in class. Nothing, just learning. Like what just cool, interesting things do you want to learn about? And it's usually food or sports. One year somebody said the economy. Like, let's talk about the economy. That'd be great. So for them, that's been pretty easy. And it's kind of funny that this comes up today because I had a girl in level four today just ask, what's your plan for the rest of the year? Because my fours, a bunch of them scored really high on the stamp. So a good number of them are encouraged to take the AP test this year without having the AP class. And so I wanted to prepare them. So I ran through a practice AP test over the course of a couple of days. And so she says, what's your plan for the rest of the year? And it's my favorite unit, but it's also, this is where we have a lot of days to kind of taken away from us for a variety of different testing assemblies and just all kinds of stuff. So I just told her my plan. I said, well, you guys are level four. Most, if not all of you, will go on to AP. So I want to, like we were talking about before, kind of lead into that and introduce you guys to the concept of a classroom that becomes a newsroom. Because that's what I've done with my AP and IB kids this year, is focus on a news style format, get them really solid with their writing, their listening to more advanced audio and things like that. They thought it was a pretty cool idea. I just kind of teased it, and then we'll implement that. And that will really take them through the end of the year, and I think keep them pretty darn engaged. But so that's my plan going forward with them.
Cool. So I heard two things. I heard two things mainly there. One, you give them their choice a little bit, give them a voice in what they're going to talk about, and kind of emphasize learning for learning's sake and learning that's fun, right? And then two, your pre-AP kids or next year's AP kids, you've introduced them to kind of the format of the class next year. So maybe a bit of a tease for next year, or a warm up for next year.
Yeah, preview. And a lot of it's going to be kind of self-directed with their news format. They're going to be reporting on the stories that they want individually, but then they'll also have a news team that they'll organize, like a news video between the three or four of them, however many, to a team. So I like projects, but at the same time, at the end of the year, you got to have a very tightly organized project so it doesn't just get away from you.
Yeah. Great. Davin?
Yeah, mine's a lot of the same. After third term, I go to spring break, and it kind of answers the other question as well, as, you know, how did your year look? As far as our school curriculum goes, I finish by spring break. That's when it's like I've done all the units, quote unquote. After spring break, there's 7 to 8 weeks of actual classes for the high schools. That for me, it's like, well, you know, they're checking out, but they know they need to finish. And so you have all those challenges you mentioned, Brandon. So fourth term, same as Roger, I transfer a lot more of the class over to them, in the sense of it's not going to be a traditional Lemke class where you come in, you've got your starter, and I introduce some new structures and some new vocabulary. We work in some different scenarios with it. Then you do a practice reading, listening, writing. It's more of a, they do a presentation where they prep, and they do a PowerPoint, and they write out what they're going to say, and then they do a travel itinerary, and they do different things, but it's mostly student-centered. Most of the days, they're going to come in and just start working on whatever it is. And that can be challenging, like Roger said. It has to be well-planned, very strict parameters, or you'll just lose the class. And I used to have them record videos where they'd write out a script, and there'd be a group of three or four kids, and they'd do like a 3-minute video about whatever they wanted based on certain topics in Spanish. Well, after last year, it just got more crazy and more crazy, and more students just weren't doing very well on it. So this year I totally threw it out and went with some different stuff. From my experience though, by the time they come to fourth term, they're pretty burned out as far as new information. I don't know if that's your guys' experience, but when it comes to fourth term, it's not that you stop teaching them new stuff, but it can't be the same kind of traditional. For me, it's like fourth term is the term where we reemphasize and recycle while including maybe a couple new things here and there that you just kind of throw in. Fourth term is maybe the term that you solidify the foundation, is kind of how I look at fourth term. So first, second, third term is building and growing the language. Fourth term is kind of that, let's try to seal it in place before the summer, before you move on. That's how I'm trying to approach it, at least this year and last year is what I did.
Sure. Good. Well, like the rest, thinking about kids for just a second, kids and adults are not perfectly motivated by pure interest in learning all the time. And so the other three terms you've kind of got, well, and fourth term, just not till the very end, but you've got that kind of extra motivation of the test looming and wanting to perform well on the tests and get a good grade. But just hearing you guys, you can almost leverage their motivation to be done with school by, or am I saying, like, keep them engaged to the end? Not, you don't have that test anymore, but you can keep them engaged by, I mean, taking a look back at all the things you've accomplished, doing a project where they feel like they can use all the things that they've accomplished and kind of have evidence, and that's another way to keep them motivated anyway. But you don't have that test, and that's one problem at the very end.
The more, as teachers, we can get rid of that mentality of, well, my test is at the end of April. What do I teach in May?
Yeah.
It's still learning, right? And yeah. That's that traditional approach of we're just teaching to the test. So the test demonstrates, and then we have to have the test. We're not saying there shouldn't be a test or anything like that. We have to have that data. But the point is the test is just that checking point. And we've all asked that question. Oh man, the test is here. I've got 3 more weeks. What do I do after that? The idea is you finish the learning and you finish, and the test should just tell you how you should use those 3 weeks. If there's something that's really missing, find a creative way to try to get that by in those last 3 weeks or something like that.
Yeah. That's a good point. That goes back to what we talked about, the assessments not being the end point. And that's kind of a unique opportunity in the year to have 3 or 4 weeks where you get to really show that and show that you're just, you know, now what can we do? Let's look back at what we've done and make sure we're still learning. But kind of for learning's sake, which I don't know, it's a unique and fun time of year, but it takes planning and tight scheduling. First question has been answered. What do you do at the end of the year? There's a couple ideas. Davin already touched on this a little bit, but I think that my view of my sense of the best pacing in a year has evolved a little bit, and kind of, you know, at first you just do the math and you say 4 units, divide them out through the 4 terms. Then you start to realize, and it takes a couple of years for me to remember, like, oh shoot, I remember last year I waited too long for this. And so you do it a little earlier and then just this year, I finally came to the conclusion that, really want to be through the body of most of the material and curriculum and all the new stuff before spring break. I think that's kind of a good marker in my mind.
My standard. By spring break, I should be done.
Because then you're just a couple weeks into 4th term, and then you got the last 3/4 of 4th term to prepare for the test. Well, the test happens halfway through 4th term or a little after. And then you can move on to your project or whatever. But it seems to me just that I need to plan better the pacing and to be all done before spring break next year. That's just my unofficial back of my mind marker, but I don't know. Roger, what do you think?
Well, I have my last day to turn things in as the Friday before the last week of each term.
Mm-hmm.
And then usually, so like at that point, that unit is done. And then I usually lead into the next or just start the next.
Right, with the last week of the term. Right.
Yeah, or like we've talked about, and we've talked about with Bonnie before, like that's a time where you can kind of maybe a little bit more explicitly go over some of the grammatical things from the unit you just finished and things like that. As I finish out that final week, as I'm finishing up all the grades. But then for me, I feel like if I have a good project, like with my kids that are going to be doing news projects, I feel like I can make that go through most of May, and then we'll watch them and things like that. Probably like the second, like third to last week. Cause we'll have a good chunk of time that's going to be revision, peer review, editing, and things like that. And then, so yeah, I think hopefully I can drag my stuff through most of the year.
Cause we have 4 units per year, level, right? Right now.
In my level 3s, I do like to do a little tease and lead into what first unit of level 4 is.
After the end of year test. And
yeah. So about early in May from that point through the rest of the year, yeah.
So your 4th unit, and a lot of times the 4th units are kind of, they're not quite as specific as the other ones, you know, like, just off the top of my head, level 2 is community, and you've talked a little bit about some of these things already.
Yeah, it incorporates kind of everything else to a degree. Yeah.
So it doesn't take quite as long, but do you feel like you're done? Roger, do you feel like you're done with yours? You know, if you end of third term, a week before the term ends, you've finished that, you've taken the test. That last week you started into fourth term stuff for that fourth unit. Do you feel like you can be all done with that by the end of March so that April you're, know what I'm saying?
For level three?
Yeah.
I feel like I can make level three go a decent ways into May. Cause then like with them, I do a project too, like a travel,
like their curriculum goes in right up to the test. The new curriculum.
Yeah, I think so.
And our test though, here's what I'm asking actually. The test happens, like our window is always the first week or two of May, right? So mine this year, I decided just to do the end of that first week of the window.
Oh.
Which means that you're cutting off a month of what you would normally have for kind of your typical flow of a unit.
Yeah, that's true.
So are you?
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't feel like I get the fourth unit, at least with level three, because they've got the district IPA.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I get through it as thoroughly as I would necessarily like. But then after the test, that's when I usually, cause I used to have to go to Mexico for my master's degree, which my wife got after me for saying, don't say that you had to go, cause then it sounds bad. Like, but that's why I liked it, is cause it forced me to go. So when I was still needing to go, I would just lay out like, okay, class, like, this is all the things I have to take into consideration for this trip, because it's like the entire summer. I have kids. I have things I have to plan for them, take for them. So I put it on them. Okay, you guys, find flights, find a place to stay. What would you do if you were in my shoes? And that's been a really good project that usually takes a couple weeks. So then after the test, then they can still continue on that learning. But yeah, then for the test, if it happens to be on unit four, then yeah, they haven't been as thoroughly taught for that unit as I probably would have liked.
Yeah, it's just a unique term with some unique challenges because testing happens a little earlier. But I would say that that's a typical term pacing that we all do is you start the unit at the beginning of the term. If it's the second or third or fourth term, maybe the week before the term starts. But anyway, pretty much at the beginning of the term, you start the unit, you're moving through, have your test completed a week or week and a half before the end of the term to give kids a chance to make it up if they missed it or whatever. But yeah, the fourth term just presents that problem of the tests for the district and things happen a lot earlier. Even AP and IB testing is, you know, 3 to 4 weeks before the end of the term. So anyway, that's a challenge, but
there's nothing really wrong though with starting ahead. I don't think I've never done it before. There's nothing wrong with giving them a snapshot of the year that comes. Especially since it's only a matter of weeks, right? Probably 2 or 3 weeks at most for most of us. If we go back and try to reteach or recycle some of the lessons and we do a project or two and then they take the assessment, there's nothing wrong with taking 5 or 6 days or whatever's left. And you just, even if you did a general overview of each of the units for the next year, it's not enough that they're going to be completely bored next year. I mean, language acquisition takes time.
Yeah.
But it should be enough to where they can hopefully grasp a couple ideas and be familiar with what's coming. There's nothing wrong with that either. Move ahead a little bit because they'll be off for 2.5 months. You're going to have to reel them back in anyway when they come back, regardless of what they have. So.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the good discussion today, you guys. It's a challenge for all of us, I think in all subjects, to teach meaningful things after the test, but it's possible. It just takes careful planning. There's a lot of projects out there that are useful and that we can share, and let's share them with each other and find ways to keep kids engaged to the very end. And hopefully one day they'll stop asking that question, what are we going to do once the test is over? Because they always ask that. And we just want to convey the message that we're all about learning, and our final goal is not to pass a test, but to sense that we've learned something and made progress throughout the year.
Yeah, and build on it.
And build on
it. One little thing I could add. When I was fresh out of college, I graduated in December, like worst time to graduate because good luck finding a job in December.
Yeah.
But I got a long-term sub and someone had had a baby, so I was going to be there a while. And I was there through the end of one term, and I had things that were worth points and an assessment the last week of the term, because that was the direction from the district. We teach to the end. And I just remember getting a couple emails and things from parents on both sides. Like, how dare you put something in last week? That's when we go on vacation. It's like, well, I'm sorry, but your vacation is not my problem. I've been told to teach to the end, and that's what good teachers should do, is teach to the end. And so, like, we're going to have meaningful stuff till the end. But then you also get the other side of it, where it's like, I remember that week was terrible because I was planning and grading like crazy every night, especially stuff that was coming in late. So it was just kind of a nightmare. It's like this, not that meaningful stuff can't be taught, but that's when I started thinking, like, I need to implement like a cutoff policy the Friday before the last week, because this is insane. Like, I can't keep doing this every single term. That's going to drive me nuts. So it is tricky, like, cause you need meaningful stuff. But like we've talked plenty of times before, not all meaningful things have to go into the grade book. It just needs to be meaningful and lead to further knowledge gains and education.
Good point. Well, thanks for joining us for another episode of Level Up. With that, I will say auf Wiedersehen.
Adios.
Hasta luego.
Thanks for getting down with Level Up.
No keyboard cat.
God.
Our respects to the keyboard
cat. What happened? How was able to open the